Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's David Smith.
All right, so welcome back to another episode of Illinois Family Spotlight. I am your host, David Smith, and today I am joined by a special guest who happens to be a pastor in the northwest suburbs of the Chicagoland area. His name is Pastor James Scudder, or Jim Scudder, Jr. He is the senior pastor of Quinton Road Baptist Church in Lake Zurich, Illinois. He is also the president of Day Spring Bible College and Seminary, and the host of the television and radio program In Grace, which reaches audience around the country and even around the world. Now, because we're in Illinois podcast, I have to also note that he is online and locally on the radio station WYLL, which is 1160 AM. And Pastor, tell me, what days of the week is that on? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's on every day, Monday through Friday at 10:30. And we're also on Moody, all the Moody stations, and the one here in Chicago.
Whoa.
on Sunday evenings at 7.
Excellent. Well, see, I didn't know that. Now, on a personal note, Pastor Jim and his wife have been married for more than 30 years. They have two daughters and are now enjoying the blessing of being grandparents. Well, I'm in that camp just recently myself. So, hey, congrats.
Thank you. It's a great time of life.
It is. Well, Pastor, I wanted to ask you on, and we probably should have had you on before. You have just recently released a new book, and the title of that book is The Spiritual War Against Israel. The subtitle is Defending Biblical Zionism and Understanding Israel's Place in God's Prophetic Plan. Boy, talk about timely.
Yeah, things are heating up, and not just in Israel, which I'm in Israel right now, yeah, in Jerusalem doing filming and interviews and things, but we're supposed to head home on Friday, Lord willing. But it's heating up in the arena of conservatism and the arena of Christianity.
Yes.
People that used to just kind of, hey, the Bible says Israel's the Jews, and, you know, really simple stuff like President Truman, against advice of his Secretary of State, like his whole cabinet said, do not recognize Israel. He recognized Israel, and his reason was because he went to church and he was taught that Israel was the Jews. It's that simple, Dave. And so, but we're seeing a departure from that, and it's really worrying me. And I'm thankful for people like you, Dave, that aren't afraid to stand up for Israel. And we need more of that. And we need to also counter, that's what the book is basically to do, counter the lies and the mistruths about the Jews and about Israel. These things
Amen.
Keep cropping up over and over and over. And we're giving you real-time answers in the book. And I think it'll be helpful. And I co-wrote it, by the way, with my colleague, Dr. Phil Stringer.
Yeah, Dr. Stringer is amazing. I can't wait to get it. I did order it, but I haven't gotten it yet. So I can't wait to read it because I heard you on another interview talking about Dr. Stringer's history angle on this too. And I really need to strengthen my history knowledge on this. So, but one of the questions I had for you is, can you define what you mean by Zionism? Because there are so many people who use that word as a pejorative. I can't believe it. You're just a Zionist. What? Is it God?
Yeah. I would say God's a Zionist. So we're sitting in the new city of Jerusalem, not far from the old city of Jerusalem. And there's an actual hill called Mount Zion. And it's a reference to all of Jerusalem. It's a reference to all of Israel. It's just another name for Israel. It's another name for the land of that we call it. They call it Judea. It's where the term Jews come from. You know, there's this misconception that the Palestinians are a unique people group. They're not. They're the Arab population that lives in the place that was called Palestine because the Romans were sick and tired of the Jews and slaughtered many, dispersed many, tore down the temple, and said, you know, we're going to change the name. Instead of Judea or Israel, now it's Palestina. And all the Jews and all the Christians and all the Arabs that were living in this area during the British mandate in those times, they're all called Palestinians. I know Jewish people that have Palestinian on their birth certificate. Wow. Because they were born before the nation of Israel. So there's a lot of terms that are out here, but Zion and Zionism is just simply this, Dave. It's the idea and the belief that this land that I'm sitting in right now belongs to the Jewish people. And that promise came from a God that doesn't break his promises. And it wasn't a conditional promise, Dave. These were unconditional, unilateral, eternal promises. You and I get that, but I think we are really biblicists. We stake really close to scripture. We don't want to allegorize everything and, you know, spiritualize this and that. If you believe what God says at his word, unless it's obviously allegory, there's a few, the mountains clap your hands, but a lot of people like replacement theology people and supersessionists and different people that don't believe that Israel has a future or the church has replaced Israel, they have to allegorize a lot and spiritualize a lot. And I don't want to do that. I want to take the Bible literal where possible, which is most of the places.
Amen.
And God has promised this land to the Jewish people, the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob forever. Now, we get to share in that, but we're grafted in. The Gentiles
right,
are the
right.
wild olive tree, and some of the natural olive tree branches have broken off because of unbelief. But don't be proud, church. You know, God is using us right now in this age that we live in, but we haven't replaced Israel. And if we have, then God might not keep his promise to us, but I know he will.
You know, my children and my family and I just finished reading the book of Joshua. And one of my points in that was pointing out how specific God was about the boundaries for each tribe. You know, he was very particular. He prescribed it. He said, this is yours and this is for your inheritance. And it's interesting too, like the Levites, they didn't have land. They didn't have it. Because their inheritance was the Lord. When you hear people say, I'm not anti-Semitic, I'm anti-Zionist, can these two really be separated?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think anyone that is anti-Zionist or anti-Zion, Zion is the homeland of the Jewish people. So if you're saying you're against the homeland for the Jewish people, or you think the Jewish people here are illegally, or you subscribe to some ridiculous myth like the Khazar myth, which says that the Khazar tribe that were Turks that converted to Judaism and all the Jews of Europe, the Ashkenazis, are really not even Jews. They really don't have that land right. That is a made-up theory since 1948, and it's a flawed theory, historically flawed. Even the person that wrote the book that everyone cites wasn't citing that all the Jews in Israel today aren't really Jews. And, you know, even Tucker Carlson, when he was debating Mike Huckabee, and I get to interview him tomorrow, by the way, not Tucker, but Mike Huckabee. He was questioning Netanyahu's lineage. You know, it's just like, no, they are. If Hitler killed 6 million people that thought they were Jews, but really weren't Jews, Hitler really screwed up. And all these people that thought they were Jews shouldn't have died because of the Holocaust. No, that's absurd. And these things are what people are saying today. They're not true. They're proven false. And anyone that kind of hints at some of this, that is anti-Semitic. That is anti-Jew. And I think we need to be more zeroed in than anti-Semitic, because there's a lot of Semitic peoples, not just the Jews. We're talking about being anti-Jew. We're talking about being anti-Israel or anti-Zion. And if Israel is the apple of God's eye, I don't want to poke God in the eye. I'm not that dumb, Dave.
No. So you brought up Tucker Carlson, and, you know, I think of other conservatives like, well, supposedly Candace Owens and other maybe even Reformed Christians that just have a different eschatology than us. One of the questions I have is, you know, since October 7th, the Hamas attack, we've seen shocking levels of anti-Semitism, and we've seen jihad waged all across Europe now, against Israel, against the United States, and they want to have world domination. So why are so many cultural Christians, I'm not going to call them born-again Christians, I'm calling them cultural Christians, defending the idea of Palestine or even cheering Hamas? Why?
Yeah, so, I mean, Hamas, obviously, no one can defend them.
No.
We were we were invited to the Israeli embassy in Washington, and we were shown the worst of the worst. And the footage from their attack, they filmed. You know, people say, well, Israel made that up, or it's AI, or it's a false flag. No, no, no. Hamas filmed it. They were calling their parents, bragging about how many Jews they killed. These are heinous, awful people. Hamas needs to be annihilated. And I also think, Dave, isn't it weird that all these awful enemies of Israel start with H? I'm sure there's nothing deeper than that. It's just weird. You know, Hitler, Haman, Hezbollah, Houthi, Hamas, you know, it's just kind of crazy.
Wow. Yeah. Never thought of that. That's interesting. So are you surprised with the rise of this anti-Semitism and the hostility towards Israel? Is it because of the funding towards, you know, in colleges by Islamic nations like Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Turkey? Are they funding this kind of propaganda?
Yes, and it is propaganda. And I think that's the best way to defend Israel. When somebody says something like Israel's apartheid or Israel commits genocide, what we need to do is question the person and question their motivations. Because if it is propaganda, you know, Tokyo Rose and Baghdad Bob, they weren't telling the truth. They had to say what they were saying. America's not winning. America, you know, there's no tanks in Baghdad. Well, there were, you know, so it's propaganda. And once you prove it's propaganda, then everything that they say is discredited. So I think we need to do that more. Yeah, we need to correct the lies. You know, Israel's apartheid. Well, they have Arabs in the Supreme Court. They have Arabs in the Knesset. You know, there's white, brown, black. There's all colors here. There's Arabs that live side by side Jewish people in peace. But it's this agitation. So I wouldn't say I would be against the Palestinian people as long as they aren't you know, against Israel. And there are plenty that are Israeli citizens. They're Arabs that live here in Israel, and they have the rights to vote. If the Palestinians would stop fighting or lay down their arms, there would be peace. If Israel were to lay down their arms, there would be bloodshed, because the charter of Hamas, and many Palestinians still think, and many, many others, Arabs and Muslims around the region, they still say from the river to the sea, which means there is no Israel. There's no Jewish homeland.
And it's important to point out here that Islam is not just a religious group. It is a world political ideology.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's all to them, it's all the same. There's no difference between their politics and their religion. And the religion does dictate of how they're going to act in countries. And it's definitely a world domination. Many of the Islam's, most of the branches, that's what they're looking for now. Yeah, and I just want to say one thing, though, Dave, that we need to still love them. We need to still give them the gospel. We need to be aware of what's happening, but we can't be scared as Christians. We can't, you know, instead of being against your neighbor who's Muslim, just love them and show them Christ. And they don't, so Islam doesn't know love, because Allah is not a God of love. We serve a God of love, and he demonstrated that love by sending his son. So that's how we're going to defend against all of this stuff.
I talked to somebody in my church who is from Palos, which has a growing Muslim population, and we expressed our concerns about that fact. I made the mention, I said, the solution to this is conversion to Christ. The bottom line, conversion to Christ.
Yeah. And really, think about that, Dave. The solution to all of the problems is faith in Jesus. And then, you know, grow in him. And the next thing you know, we're going to have a millennial reign of Christ on this earth. And I long for that day. And I know that not everyone is a dispensationalist like I am. But as long as, let's say you are Reformed or whatever your eschatology is or whatever, aren't you still thankful for the people that brought you your Savior? Don't you know that you're going to be worshiping a Jew for all eternity? Don't you know the book that you read is a Jewish book, our Bible? So shouldn't we love them for the fact that they brought forth the Messiah and the scriptures? So I think there's no place for anti-Semitism or Jew hatred in the Christian world.
Well, I want to talk more about your love for the Jewish people in a minute, but we're going to take a break. But before we do that, Pastor, could you tell us where the listeners can buy your new book, The War, the Spiritual War Against Israel, and any other materials that you might have available?
Yeah, so this is the new book. It just came out. It's very few people have it yet, but we're getting a lot of media attention on it, Defending Biblical Zionism and Understanding Israel's Place in God's Prophetic Plan. It's at ingrace.us, which is our website. It's our media website. We're on TBN every week, and we have, you know, the radio show. So you can find all that information there, but you can actually order the book at ingrace.us, or Amazon has it, and there's also Kindle available.
Okay, ingrace.us. ingrace.us is where you can get it. All right, with that said, we're going to take a quick break and make a couple of announcements, and then we'll come right back. Stay tuned.
Did you know that every single major diaper company on the market today is a supporter of abortion, either financially or vocally? That's why in my household, we only use Every Life. Not only is Every Life the only pro-life diaper company on the market today, donating a portion of their sales to pregnancy care centers all around the country, but they are also the cleanest. So many diapers on the market, the majority of them are plastic lined, have harsh chemicals like phthalates, parabens, forever chemicals that are touching your baby's skin, but Every Life is different. Every Life is cotton lined, supremely soft, breathable, 12-hour leak protection, all the things that make it so easy for me as a mom to swap. Not only am I receiving a diaper that is pro-life, but I am receiving a premium product that I can have complete faith that actually works. And their wipes are the same. 99% water, no harsh chemicals. Amazing. That's why you need to shop Every Life too. Go to everylife.com and use code IllinoisFamily10 to get 10% off your order in perpetuity. That's IllinoisFamily10.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. An X user recently asked, is it ethical for me to charge 15% more for my rich clients? Though that kind of opportunism is not surprising or unusual for non-believers, Christian business owners should constantly be taking stock in how they operate, following the example that's set by the author of Hebrews, who asked for prayer for, and I quote, a clear conscience desiring to act honorably in all things. In a chapter published years ago that was entitled Why Johnny Can't Produce Christian Scholarship, theologian John Stackhouse said that Christian scholars have to work, quote, more than twice as hard because, after all, they have to be Christian, they have to be scholars, and then they have to be Christian scholars. The same framing would apply to Christians in business. Christians must always be first and foremost Christian. Christians in business, just as in any other vocation, should be competent and excellent in their craft. And also, they have to work hard at grounding the idea of business and the practice of business in Christian assumptions about work, about people, about profit, about culture, about ethics, and other things. And so, though a Christian business must involve more than just merely being moral and ethical, it certainly does not require less. Now, the biblical book of Proverbs offers a time-tested, God-breathed roadmap to living ethically, including speaking specifically about business practices. Chief among the qualities of wisdom, of course, are honesty and fair dealing. Proverbs 9 says it's better to be poor with integrity than to be a crooked fool. Proverbs 16 says it's better to live righteously with a little than to earn great revenues through injustice. It also says that a just balance and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work, end quote. And the scripture offers a sober, comforting reminder that God is Lord over heaven and earth, and that any work we have is a gift of his. He's the provider. He is just. If we orient the posture of our work around these truths, we can rest assured in his goodness and care. Thus, we need not grovel on the one end of the unemployment stream or steal for our portion on the other. Squeezing more money from a client who will not care or notice or suffer from it is obviously something considered good for business, unless, that is, our work is seen by someone to whom we are both responsible and accountable. The Christian position is, of course, there is one by whom we are seen, from whose presence we are never able to escape. And thus, we are to model good works in all respects, as the Apostle Paul said to Titus. We must not wrong another in a sale or bring lazy hands to our work or fail to use our God-given skills or fall into sin by a shady business partnership. All those things are reflected in Holy Scripture. And that's because all life is lived, as John Calvin said, coram Deo, or before the face of God. Scripture also commands us to be like God. He's loving, so we should be loving. Christ came to serve, even as the Lord of heaven and earth, and so we should serve. To be set apart from the world in this way is the privilege of emulating Christ, and that's why we can count it all joy. Now, Christians often struggle to see their work as being eternally significant in the same way as volunteering or quote-unquote doing ministry. Work is often viewed as something that adults have to do, and the relationship between employees and the employer as a merely transactional one. But our work in this world is not of this world. God gave work to Adam and Eve, even in paradise, and portions of Isaiah, 2 Timothy, Revelation, and elsewhere all suggest that we'll also work in the new heavens and new earth, enjoying the labor of our hands and the presence of God. And so, our work here can also be a reflection of that, a foretaste of that, a means to glorify God. In his book, How Then Should We Work?, Hugh Welchel framed the workplace as being the precise arena to reweave shalom into a broken world. Now, it's always tempting and easier and maybe simply standard business practice to justify the kind of gray area opportunism that's so common. But if Christ is Lord over everything, then our work should reflect the kingdom of God and reflect its beckoning to us to humbly repent, to be born again, and to live in righteousness, peace, and joy. In our work, as in everything else, the kingdom of God always looks different than the world. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stonestreet with Breakpoint. A special thanks today to Ira and Alice of Colton, California. Thank you for being a cornerstone monthly partner of the Colson Center. You helped to make this episode of Breakpoint possible. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored with Haley Wilson. If you're a fan of Breakpoint, leave us a review wherever you download podcasts. And for more resources or to share this commentary with others, go to breakpoint.org.
Hi, we are Jack
and Martha
from Santa Cruz, California. We're cornerstone partners because we appreciate the ministry tackling head-on the most pressing faith issues of the day, from abortion to immigration to the role of the church in today's culture. The information presented is always biblically based and intellectually sound.
If you would like to join us and over 1,000 others in becoming a Cornerstone monthly partner, visit colsoncenter.org/monthly.
Welcome back to part two of this episode of Illinois Family Spotlight. We're joined again by Pastor Jim Scudder of Quinton Road Baptist Church and Day Spring Bible College and Seminary. Boy, you guys are doing a lot up there in Lake Zurich, aren't you?
Things are good, Dave. And you know, there's a blessing in Genesis 12:3. If you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. If you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. And the last two or three years, we've always supported Israel, but the last two or three years, we've been very public and very vocal and bold. And since then, we've gotten a massive building donated to us, 120,000 square feet, 32 acres on a lake for our college. Our college is about to double in size. So I don't know if that's a blessing of God from us supporting Israel, but I can't say it's not either.
You know, in a day and age where we see Christian schools closing and seminaries closing and college closing, it sounds like you guys are actually growing.
Yeah, and you know what's really interesting? The two Trinities that are in the Chicago area, sadly, are both closing, and there's one right by us, Trinity Evangelical Divinity School or International University, and they've just closed.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, it's right by us. And they donated a lot of things to our college, which we thank them for that. There's more that they could donate, and we would love for them to do that. Every time we have a need, God meets the need, and he is blessing us right now, and we want to train up young people to be great in ministry, pastors, Christian school teachers, missionaries, and we're thankful that they're coming our way for that training.
Well, I want to talk about your love for the Jewish people, and I know you and your father and the people at Quinton Road really have a place in your heart for the Jewish people. Every so often, I tune into a YouTube channel called So Be It. I don't know if you're familiar with it. But it's a Messianic Jew who's on the street interviewing people, telling people in Israel, in Jerusalem, about their Jewish Messiah, right? It's so interesting to me how many eyes are open that they didn't know. You know, for example, the New Testament is a continuation of the Old Testament. You know, there may have been a pause there. And most people didn't know, you know, that Jesus was actually Jewish, born in Bethlehem and raised in Nazareth. Tell me about your love and how did you come to love and want to minister as you are right now in Israel?
Well, it started when I was young because my dad loved Israel. He had a viewpoint as his view of end times that, that God has a future for the nation of Israel. I think that's an easy one to get to, Daniel 9 and the whole book of Revelation and Zechariah and other places. I think we can get to that. But we came to Israel when I was like preteen. And I don't know, just maybe those trips turned on a switch in me. And when I became the senior pastor, when my dad retired, he's since passed away, we got on, our TV show got on TBN, and TBN wanted programming. We were doing like adventure, apologetics type things. And we were starting to film in Israel, and people loved everything we brought home from Israel, on the land, on the prophecy, on the people, the miracle. And so it just really accelerated our love and support for Israel and the Jewish people. But I started to think, I don't know any Jewish people in the Chicago area. I knew very few. I didn't know any rabbis. And they're right by us. The Jewish community is near us. And so I asked the Lord for help on that. And it wasn't a day or two later in a meeting with Moody Radio executives. They wanted us to be on their network. And a woman said, hey, my husband made a movie about Israel. I sit down in the Israel prayer breakfast the next morning. Out of 500 people, I happened to be sitting next to her husband, who is now a dear friend of mine. He is Messianic. He knows so many Jewish people in the Chicago area. And he told me what to do. And he's been a great friend. And now I have, I would say, dozens and dozens of Jewish friends that have been to my church multiple times. One Orthodox Jewish lady calls me her pastor, tongue in cheek. But they hear the gospel. And, you know, you mentioned the online videos of people hearing the gospel. And most Jewish people don't know anything about Israel. A lot of people think, well, they've rejected Jesus. They actually don't know anything about him, because we've done a poor job at loving the Jewish people. And so they want to know. They want to know all about him. And I can't help but talk about Jesus. And they don't mind. And I had two Jewish husbands. We were invited to these end of these two feasts. One was Sukkot, one was Shavuot. And one was in Israel, one was in Skokie. And both of the husbands said to me, Pastor, doesn't Isaiah 53, don't you guys think that that's Jesus mentioned there? Out of the blue, I didn't bring it up. They brought it up, and I was able to share, yeah, you know, and go through the scripture with them sitting there. And they got to hear about the prophecies from Isaiah. By the way, today, Dave, I saw the original Isaiah, great Isaiah scroll at the Israel Museum. They usually have it in safety. But for about two more months, they have it actually out on display. And there it is, you know, who has believed our report, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. And in that passage, you have that the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so one man said, well, that's Israel, and that's the Jewish people in the Holocaust. So I said, are you saying that the Jewish people in the Holocaust died for my sins, died for my iniquities? He goes, no, that can't be right, because that's what he had heard from the rabbi. So, you know, it's just having these wonderful conversations. It's been amazing. And since October 7th, it's accelerated really fast, because now the world is against them. Very few Christians are bold enough to stand. And we've been able to do that. And it's been amazing.
Well, speaking of Isaiah, the Apostle Paul probably knew the Old Testament probably better than anybody in history, right? In Romans 10, he says that his heart's desire was for Israel to be saved, right? And that's going to happen. I believe it's going to happen.
Yeah, and if the church had replaced Israel, why would he have such a burden for Israel?
That's right.
You know,
he's the guy Israel, that said to the Jews first, right? And then to the Greeks.
Yeah, and he said, is God done with Israel? This is in Romans 11. God forbid. So It's clear that there's a future for Israel. And I have to say, when you start to study the regathering and the rebirth of Israel, it is incredibly miraculous. It cannot have been by man. It has to be by God. So then all of these fulfillment, these regathering prophecies are being fulfilled. Every prophet mentioned the regathering, except for Jonah. All of them mentioned the regathering, and here they are. Why are they here now? Well, there's a time of judgment that's coming upon the world. And it seems to me about halfway through that time of judgment, we call it the tribulation, there's going to be a recognition of the Messiah by a lot of Jewish people. They will look upon him whom they have pierced, as Zechariah says. And, you know, there's also the 144,000 witnesses that are Jewish. I'm hoping they're watching in grace, because they'll watch these YouTube channel shows, like the testimony one you mentioned, One for Israel is another one. And I'm understanding there's millions of people watching those videos, and they're watching them by the millions in Hebrew. That tells you they have to be Israelis if they're speaking Hebrew. So
yeah,
these videos, and they are watching in grace, they are having an impact on the Jewish people. And you might not ever hear about it. Like Nicodemus wasn't immediately, you know, confessing Christ, but I do think he believed that night when he came to Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea. Now, eventually they did, but originally they just kind of kept it quiet, and you kind of see him defending Jesus a little bit. But I'm hoping that all the people that I've been able to, you know, minister to and be in contact with, that they would have put their faith in Yeshua, Jesus, as their Savior.
What do you think is the most effective way to present that to somebody who is, I mean, there's different kinds of Jews, right? There are secular Jews, and then there are really faithful Jews who know their Tanakh and their Torah and stuff.
Yeah, I would say even the religious or the Orthodox Jews don't really know the scriptures that well. They don't know the prophets much or the Psalms. They know the Torah, the first five books, pretty good, because they do the reading, you know, in the synagogue. But what they do, Dave, is they really rely on interpretation. They rely on the sages and the rabbis. They hardly would just ever read the Bible. So that's what I'm encouraging my friends. Read the Bible. Oh, I can't understand it. I'm like, no, you can. Ask God to show it to you.
Yes.
So do that. Just as you meet people, if you meet somebody that's Jewish, go walk up to them and say this: I love you. I'm supporting you. I'm standing with you. And I just thank you for giving me my Messiah, Jesus. That is unbelievable. That simple statement, everybody can do that. They'll probably start crying because they feel so alone and so hated.
Wow.
We all can do that.
Yeah. What a great testimony, great way to do that. You know, and also just not only reading the word, but connecting to a good fellowship and sitting under good preaching is so important. You know, having a pastor who exegetes the scripture, who digs into the culture and the context of when it was written, who can explain these things to you. Believe me, you get a lot when you get that kind of information taught to you. Things become crystallized for you, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. And I think pastors need to be better at that, taking stands, you know, helping people understand, how can scripture affect my life? How does scripture affect how I think about Israel? You know, and these are real world issues. Like in Illinois, they're trying to remove a pretty good bill that was anti-BDS, the divesting from Israel. They want to divest the state's pensions and stuff from Israeli companies, which is wrong. And we had a good law in place, and I think it's still in place. But you guys are fighting the good fight on all of these issues, life and gender and all of that. So, Dave, I want to commend you and Illinois family for all that you guys are doing. It's tough work. You have the supermajority against the conservative values, but you guys don't quit, and you're amazing. So thank you for
I appreciate that. It is interesting looking at the makeup of the Illinois General Assembly. They do have a Jewish caucus, believe it or not, and they're mostly progressives. But now we have a couple of Muslim representatives in the General Assembly as well. And so the tensions within the Democratic caucus is growing. Let me put it that way. So with my final question, how important is it for us as Christians to defend Israel publicly, not belligerently, but, you know, winsomely? How can we stand for the truth and push back against this culture, which is saying nay on Israel, or even
it's echoes of Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
So what can we do, Dave? Well, churches can do what we're doing: stick Israeli flags on your driveway, have an Honor Israel Day. We now have a menorah up for Hanukkah. Jesus observed Hanukkah. You know, we don't have to become Jewish. We don't have to, you know, have the dietary laws, and we're freed from all of those things. But we can be sensitive. You know, I made the mistake when I was young, witnessing to a Jewish man, you know, and then the Jews killed Jesus. Well, they've been accused of being Christ killers. So you'd have to be very careful what you say. I don't say Old Testament when I'm talking to Jewish people. I say the Hebrew scriptures or the Older Testament. You know, I would call Jesus Yeshua, because that's his Hebrew name. You know, that's what his Emma and his Abba called him, Yeshua. And so anyways, being sensitive to those things, being public, having an Honor Israel Day, I think is a really good way to do it. And your Jewish neighbors will come out to your church and honor them. And we actually will provide some kosher and stuff like that. So accommodating that, go to any pro-Israel or pro-Jewish events in your community and just say, hey, I'm a Christian, but I just love you and I want to support you. And you'll be amazed at how far that goes.
Good. Well, I want to encourage people to get this book, The Spiritual War Against Israel. You go to ingrace.us and you can purchase it there. You may want to also sign up for his emails and his radio program, the regular program that you have on. Can it all be found at ingrace.us?
Yep, you can go there. It's also as a podcast. The daily radio program is a podcast as well. So if you consume your media by podcasting, you can get us there as well. And on we have regular Bible teaching Monday through Thursday, and on Fridays and the weekends, we have these adventures that we re-edit for radio. So it's very unique. There's no other national ministry doing what we're doing. And it's a lot of fun because we're showing, especially young people, that we have a lot of foundation of our faith. It's not blind faith, and we show that archaeology proves the Bible, and science does as well.
And you have a preschool through high school, and then you also have a college and a seminary. So you run the gamut there. You probably have the wide range of ages at your church. But if they live in the Lake Zurich area, when are your services on Sunday, for example? Where can they find?
Sunday we have a service at 11 o'clock. In the morning, it's our main service. We have Bible study hour before that at 10. And then on in the summer on Sunday nights, most Sunday nights, we're having a campfire church at our old college campus. It's an outdoor service with a campfire, testimonies and singing. And then Wednesdays, we have a midweek service at 7.
Do you have s'mores?
We have s'mores, absolutely. I just ask the kids, don't burn the marshmallows. Roast them, toast them, don't burn them. But they all burn them.
That's great. All right. Ingrace.us. Thank you, Pastor Scudder, for joining me. I hope you have a wonderful trip. Is it appropriate for me to say shalom at this time?
Absolutely. Shalom, Dave.
All right. God bless you, sir.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.